Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
So this morning, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 9 in just the brief time that we have. Acts chapter 9, we've been spending time in Acts chapter 8 for the past several weeks, talking about the beginning story of the church and what we can learn from that. And I thought, wow, Acts chapter 9, what we want to talk about this morning, it fits in perfectly for Memorial Day weekend and it fits in perfectly for graduation time. So Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9 is what we're going to be focusing on today. Acts chapter 9, this is the story of Saul and Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus. Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" The light shining in his face and he's disoriented and he can't see. "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They didn't know what to say. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul, he got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. He was blinded. So they led him by hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. So this is a very pivotal moment in the story of Saul, in his personal life, life story. There are certain moments in all of our lives that are pivotal. Pivotal moments, moments that matter, moments we remember for the rest of our lives. This Friday is June 1st. And it's a moment I will remember for the rest of my life because Pastor Vicky and I, 27 years ago, had a wedding and it was a huge celebration and we got married and we were so glad to be married because we had dated for 5 years and for that 5 years we had never lived in the same town. And so finally, we got to shack up together. And it was cool, it was great, it was a moment that mattered in our lives, pivotal moments, moments we remember. Graduation is one of those moments, right? When you graduate from high school, when you graduate from college, pivotal moment. Memorial Day. Memorial Day is too, as we take time to actually look back and maybe reflect on pivotal moments or pivotal people, influential people in our lives. As we look back to honor those who've passed on before us. As we reflect and honor those who've served our country. Pivotal moments. Both of those are moments in time where we can stop, we take a moment, we reflect. And a lot of times that reflection helps us to resolve with regard to moving forward in our own personal story. So in Acts chapter 9, for Saul, this is a pivotal moment. This is a pivotal moment in his own personal story. His encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road was a moment that built upon his unique past. This culmination, this moment we just read about in the Holy Scriptures, it had built upon his unique past. And in this unique moment in his life, this pivotal moment, all of his past came together. All the strands of his past came together and were transformed and determined the direction of the course of the rest of his future. His life up to this point in the story was pretty unique because Saul, if you know anything about Saul, and there's a couple of you who've been in Sunday school class before, Saul was a Jew. He was raised as a Jew, but he was also a Roman citizen. And that's a very unique, important thing in his story. As you study Paul's story in the book of Acts, the fact that he is a Roman citizen actually increases his ability to influence and spread the word of Jesus Christ because he was a Jew, but he was also a Roman citizen. He was a highly trained theologian. Now, you might think that your pastor's just a theologian. But we're all theologians. We all practice our belief in God, and that's really what being a theologian is. But Saul was a highly trained theologian. He was a student of the Jewish law. He was trained under the top minds at the synagogue. As a matter of fact, if you dig into the New Testament, you'll hear him talking about all the people he studied under. And he got good grades. So for you graduates, he got good grades. And he had a bright future as a Pharisee in the temple. So he was a Jew and he was a Roman citizen. He was a highly trained theologian and he was also very passionate about his Jewish heritage and faith. He was very passionate in his mind at this time in his story when we meet Saul during this time. In his mind, he felt like it was his job. He felt like he was called to police the Jewish faith. And to remove any threats or any perfections from the Jewish faith. He was there. His job was to protect the Jewish religion from being compromised. And so he literally took on this role as defender of the Jewish faith. He was so driven. He was so passionate. He was so into this that he actually went to the Jewish temple and he got paperwork. He basically got search warrants. And he's like, hey, I'm going to go to Damascus and I'm going to go door to door and I'm going to be looking for anybody who's claiming to be a Christian because we need to get rid of those Christians because they're ruining the Jewish faith. They're ruining our party. So he was very passionate and his passion drove him to go to Damascus. And it's not like heading out to South Charleston. It's not even like heading out to Walmart. I mean, this is a big journey if you're Saul. So he had to be really dedicated to go on this long journey from Jerusalem to Damascus to police these Christians who were ruining his Jewish heritage. So here's Saul. He has the knowledge. He had respect among his Jewish peers. He had authority and he had focus. He had all these things going for him and he was a tour de force. He was a man to be reckoned with. And if you were a Christian, you were scared of Saul. Because he was focused and he was on a mission. Nothing in Saul's life before he encountered Jesus on the Damascus Road, however, is wasted in this story. There's nothing wasted in his story up until this point in his life. And I want us to see this morning, because this is the point really of this brief conversation about Acts chapter 9. God intended to use all of that potential. God intended to use all of that passion that Saul had. God intended to use all of the experience that he had gained up in his life up until this point for a bigger and for a better purpose. God wastes nothing. And yet, at this moment in time, Saul's future is uncertain. This is an uncertain. I mean, he was on the road to Damascus. He knew what he was going to do. And then, boom, pow, he runs into Jesus. And his life, all of a sudden, is filled with uncertainty. Has anybody lost their eyesight lately? Snap like that in an encounter with Jesus? Just losing your eyesight is a powerful, transformative, debilitating moment. And here's Saul, fully independent one moment, fully blind and dependent, had to be led into Damascus by the hand of his cohorts going into Damascus. So his future suddenly is uncertain. He's graduating in this moment. He's graduating from his past into his future. In this story that we're reading here this morning. And he's preparing to step into his future, which is totally full of question marks, totally full of uncertainty at this moment in time. His transformation was as much about how he would live his life moving forward as it was what he'd do next. Don't miss that this morning. His transformation was as much about how he would live his life moving forward as much as it was about what he would do next. And I really think that's the big question when we all face these pivotal moments. Because we always, you know, something happens. We graduate. Well, what's next? Ask Stephen.
Finding
a
job.
Yeah. And not knowing where that job is, not knowing what that future's like, there's uncertainty there. There's potential, there's passion, there's experience, but uncertainty. When we lose a loved one unexpectedly, our lives are filled with the question of what's next. In the midst of the grief, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the loss, in the midst of the suffering, still the question lingers in the back of our minds, what's next? what's next? When one chapter of life is closing, another is opening, it's natural to ask what's next. I think that's human nature. For all of us, though, I think what's next isn't as important as how will we live our lives moving into what's next. For anyone mourning the fresh loss of a loved one or remembering one who's passed many years ago, beautiful, beautiful testimony this morning. For any of us who are mourning the loss of a loved one, the memories are not just about what they did. As a matter of fact, most of the memories that we have of loved ones who've passed on are more about how they lived, who they were. The memories are about the quality of relationship, not the number of trophies that they earned. It's not about the number of diplomas that they achieved. It's not about the certificates or the money that they made. How we live is so much more important than what we accomplish in this world in terms of earthly accomplishments. We all spend a ton of time working, amen? We all spend a ton of time laboring. We all spend a ton of time earning our way through life. But it's usually not the work that we do that defines our legacy. It's how we do it. It's how we live our lives. How we treat each other. How we treat other people. How we are motivated that shapes our legacy when we graduate to the great beyond in heaven to be with Jesus. For Saul, his how was transformed on that Damascus road that day. We see a man whose how, at the beginning of the story, was defined by breathing murderous threats. Not sure he's a guy I'd want to hang out with. His how was defined by breathing murderous threats, and suddenly he's blinded. He encounters Jesus and his course is changed. His life is transformed. Saul's how was transformed from hatred for Christians to love for Christ. Saul's how was transformed from ritual and being all about the Jewish religion to true worship of the one true holy God through Jesus. Saul's how was transformed from self-love and being all about protecting what he was comfortable with in his life to loving others and to be about projecting the love of Jesus to every corner of his life that he possibly could. At this moment in his story, Saul, he had no idea what was next. Talk about question marks. He can't even see. He's being led into a city. It's a foreign city. It's not like he's home. He's being led into a foreign city by three guys he works with. He's on a business trip and he's disabled suddenly. He has no idea what's next. But how he lived his life from that moment on was dramatically transformed by this personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Saul's encounter with Jesus made him stop what he was doing. You think about that. Jesus just kind of said, stop. You know, he stopped him in his tracks. Saul was so passionate. He was so focused on what he was doing. He was so focused on living the life he thought he should live. And he believed in every single bit of it. And it took a dramatic intervention for God to say, Saul, stop. He had to say, Saul. Saul. Why are you persecuting me? He had to get his attention. And sometimes God has to get our attention in our lives. Amen? This pivotal moment, this encounter with the living Christ on the Damascus Road helped Saul see he was living his life for all the wrong reasons up until that point in time. He was engaged. He was passionate. He had experience. He had education. He had training. He had purpose. He had focus. But he realized that he had been living his life for the wrong reasons up until that moment. You see, folks, how we live our lives in many ways informs what we will really accomplish. It's not in what you do. It's not the job that you have or the task that you do every day that determines what you really accomplish. It's how we conduct ourselves. How we live our lives really defines what we accomplish in life when you really get down to the bare bones of it. Is how we are living right now. If you had to grade yourself right now, is how we're living right now, is it defined by materialism? Is it defined by pursuit of trophies? Is it defined by self-centeredness? Or is how we are living our lives defined by putting others first? Is it defined by the pursuit of bringing peace and joy everywhere we go in the name of Jesus Christ. What's next? What's next? It's a legitimate question. But more importantly, the more important question is not what's next. It's how will I live my life moving forward in this moment in time? And this isn't just a question for graduates this morning. This isn't just a question for those of us who are remembering moments in time, pivotal moments in the past. This is for all of us. It isn't just a point to ponder for those of us remembering lost loved ones who've passed. All of us, Maple, what I want you to hear this morning, don't miss this. All of us have the opportunity, regardless of what we do next, to be like Saul and to choose to live a life with Jesus. To live a life of love. To live a life defined by love. To live a life that extends grace and forgiveness, even when it's not deserved. To live a life that brings peace and good news and joy wherever we go, instead of being the Debbie or Donnie Downer wherever we go. You see, everything that has happened in your life up to this point, every single thing that has happened, every single experience that you have, every diploma that you've achieved, every job that you've ever had, every child you've ever birthed and raised, every experience you've had up until this moment in time, Maplewood, Jesus can use all of that for what's next. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Jesus can use all of that for what's next. Every experience, every success, every failure, every misstep, every stumble, God wastes nothing. He wastes nothing. What's next? Who knows? But if we move forward with Jesus Christ in our hearts, if we commit ourselves to a life of love, God can use all of your experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly, up to this moment in time. He can use all your potential. And there's so much potential packed in this room this morning, not just in our graduates, but in every single one of us. He can use all the passion that you have in your heart to make a difference in your world for the kingdom of God. Do you believe that this morning? He can do it. Whether you're graduating, whether you're reflecting on this Memorial Day weekend, whether you're just eager to get to lunch. Can I get an amen? Amen. See this moment for what it is. See this very moment for what it is. This could be a pivotal moment when you and I resolve to move forward in the rest of our life with Jesus, allowing Him to transform our past, allowing Him to transform our potential, allowing Him to transform our passion so that we can change the world for a bigger, better purpose. God had plans for Saul. He needed to take all that potential and all that experience. He had a bigger, better purpose for Saul. And I'm telling you, folks, don't underestimate what God wants to do in and through you. You say, I'm nobody. I have no influence. Baloney. God wants to take all your potential. He wants to take all your passion. He wants to take all of your experience, because God's got something bigger and better He'd love to do through you if you would just let Him take control of the wheel. Today, Jesus is calling out our names. Saul! Insert your name here! He's calling out your name. Today, right where you're at. Whatever you're in the midst of. He's trying to get your attention. Maybe He's trying to get your attention for the first time and say, hey, you need to change the way you're living and you need to live for Me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I can give you so much freedom. I can give you everything you've ever been looking for if you'll just pay attention to Me. And for some of us, we've made that decision somewhere in the past. Jesus has bid us come and follow Me, and we came and we followed Him. But for some of us, we kind of drifted away from that. And He's saying, hey, insert your name here. Come back. This is a pivotal moment. I need you to regroup. I need you to retreat from what you're doing. Do you see Saul retreating in this story? It said he went into the city after Jesus encountered him, and he went into the story. He retreated for 3 days so he could figure out what was going to happen next. For some of us, we're so busy in life, we need Jesus to say, hey, insert your name here. I need you to regroup and recommit and re-up. Because I've got a bigger, better purpose for you, and you've got distracted doing good things in your life, and I'm really proud of you, but I need you to refocus, I need you to regroup, because what's next is really big, and I want you to be a part of it. And the joy that we shall share as we tarry there, none other will be able to tell, but you gotta come back first. We gotta regroup. What's next? I don't know. But how we move forward is what's most important. And Jesus is calling us out this morning and He's asking us, what are you doing with your life? I need you to regroup, reconnect with Me. Or I need you to come to Me for the first time. No matter what your answer to the question, what are you doing with your life this morning is, Jesus saying, come. Come, follow Me. Let's do what's next. Together. Let's change the world. Let's change the world. Will you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray together today. Bow our heads, close our eyes. All eyes closed this morning. If you're feeling like, Pastor, I really feel like Jesus is just saying, hey, insert your name here. I need you to pay attention to Me. If you're hearing that call, feeling that tug in your heart this morning, if you just want to raise your hand, nobody else is looking. Maybe He's saying, hey, you need to reset. Anyone like that this morning? I see that. I see those hands. Let's pray this morning together. Father, we come to You today, Lord. We thank You for calling out our names. Lord, we thank You for knowing our names this morning. You know our very thoughts. Lord, You see the tears that fall off of our cheeks as we mourn, as we grieve. Lord, You know the tension as we lie awake in bed at night, worried about what's happening next. Lord, this morning we come to You, and as we acknowledge that You're calling us by name, Father, we just pray, Father, that You would help us this morning to put our faith and our trust in You. We don't know what's next. We can't predict the future, Father, but we know that You know all things, and You hold our future in Your hands. And Lord, we want to walk forward with Jesus. We want to walk forward in the name of Jesus. We want to walk forward fully aligned and fully committed to Your will and Your way for our lives. And Lord, we don't know where that will lead us. But Father, may the Holy Spirit enter us and transform us and change us, Lord, so that we can be change agents for You. Lord, I can't be a change agent though unless You change me first. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, as I consecrate my heart to You, as we consecrate our hearts to You, Lord, as we refocus and readjust on what really matters, I pray, Father, that Your Holy Spirit would fill us fresh and anew. Give us a sense of a bigger purpose and bigger meaning this morning. During this pivotal moment, may this day in May, Memorial Day weekend, be a spiritual pivotal moment for the people of Maplewood. When our eyes were open to the spiritual need around us, when our hearts were softened, when we were able to refocus on Your will and Your way for our lives, Lord, reel us back in, Lord, so that You can cast us out into the world and be Your hands, Your feet, the love of Jesus wherever we go. Lord, may the transformative power of Your Holy Spirit change us and transform us as dramatically as it transformed Saul. Lord, You didn't ask Saul to change who he was as a person. You took everything that happened in his life up until that point, his passion, his potential, his experience, Lord, and You transformed him and used all of that stuff, everything that had happened to that moment, to carry him into the future to impact Your kingdom. Lord, help us to live into this truth this morning that You, help us to trust, really trust this truth this morning, that regardless of what we've done, regardless of our past, regardless of the sins we've committed, Lord, the guilt that we feel, Lord, regardless of the potential that we bring to the table, Lord, help us to see that You can use it all if we surrender our hearts and our minds to You. Lord, as we consecrate ourselves here this morning, Father, we pray that You'd give us vision, that You would open our eyes, Lord, to the opportunity around us, that You would use us, Lord, that You would transform us from the inside out. Let us experience Your love and Your joy and Your peace as we rely on You. Lord, as we rest in Your arms, change us and make us people that can go out and make a difference. Lord, we don't know what's next, but we choose to go with Jesus. It is in Jesus' name we pray this morning. All God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.